Amen. Amen. Church, before you take a seat, say hi to a few people around you. Say hi to a couple people around you. Say hello. Say hello. Give them a hug. Tell them happy Good Friday to you. Tell them he's soon to be risen. Amen. Amen. Once you're done saying your hellos, you can go ahead and take a seat. Amen. Amen. Once you are done, go ahead and make your way back to your seats. Oh, God is good. God is good. Amen. Hey, church, one more time, will you go with me in prayer? Let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, our worship today, let it be true. Let it be true, and let it be a worship that acknowledges the greatness of Jesus Christ. Today's not about our lives, but it's about the one who gave up his life. The one who lived to die, but also who lives to resurrect each and every one of us. So Lord, we come to you today with humble worship, asking that you would move us from glory to glory, that you would move us from truth to truth, that you would move us from grace to grace. Help us, I pray. Let this message today not just be another entertaining message. Let it be the message that sanctifies us in truth. For your word is truth. Let this message resonate with us, not in a way where it, in a way, Lord, it leads us to live with greater conviction for you. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We magnify you. Your perfect work and what that means for us. Help us to understand what the cross meant, but also even better, what the empty tomb means as well. We love you. Move us today. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, happy Easter to each and every one of you guys. A happy Good Friday. He is risen. We're going to be saying that in just a few days. I love that song. Friday's good because what? Sunday is coming, and that is so true. But today we're going to be continuing in our series that some of you may be unfamiliar with, that we started a little while back in the book of Hebrews. It's a New Testament letter that we have here in the scriptures, and we've been talking about a life of faith, not just to explain what faith means, but really what faith and how to live by it, how not just to understand faith, but how to become people of faith as well. So we're going to be picking back up in Hebrews 11. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Before I get there, I had a buddy of mine, actually he's my neighbor, a buddy of mine told me this hilarious story about the time he got to meet his favorite football player. It was his childhood hero. And one day, him and one of his good buddies as well went to the practice facility, and they ran into his favorite player. He had been looking up to this guy for years and years, watch all his games, had his jersey. I mean, you name it. He just pretty much adored this guy, right? Loved this guy. And so he had the chance. He finally got to this moment where he met his childhood hero, and he met the guy, and he says the moment that he met him, it started to go downhill fast. Now, imagine spending all your childhood and even bleeding into your adult life, you know, loving this particular person, right? And then realizing they are a jerk. Realizing they're not as good as you thought they were. Like, in their character. They're amazing on the field, but off the field, you want nothing to do with him. Pretty much, I'm trying to say, it was very evident, it was very clear, right, that even the best of people, right, were often failure. Even the best of people will often fail you. As great as someone may seem, right? He realized that day, everybody's got flaws. Just because this person, or just because this individual, or just because this player had this great, amazing, illustrious career, he still had this thing called flaws. Right? And he realized it, and he walked away disappointed. And I found his disappointment funny. Let me just say that. But anyway, when I think about that story, about this idea that everyone has flaws and everyone has something, no matter how great they may be in one area or a particular area, there is always that one area where we can all very much find similarity in. The truth is, it's easy to point out the brokenness and the errors and the dysfunction that exists in others. But you want to know what's uncomfortable? When we have to admit the brokenness that's within us. You want to know what's uncomfortable? See, I can tell you all day long about how bad somebody is, and I will love every moment of it. Because I'm really good at this thing called gossip. I'm the greatest of the gossipers. I'm a victim and a gossiper. That's, you know. That's why we have Good Friday, y'all. Right? 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 It's very easy to do that, but I hate admitting the brokenness that exists within me. And when I talk about brokenness, friends, I want you to hear me when I say this. We don't just have struggles. I don't mean just the areas where you struggle. What I mean is each and every one of us carry something in us that wears us down. Each and every one of us have something within us that wears us down. Or if I could be even clearer when I say this, there are things within each and every one of us, no matter who you are, where you are in life, there are things within each and every one of us that keep us from living the life God has called us to live. Let's just be honest about that. Let's be real about that. As much as how uncomfortable that may be, the truth is the truth that exists in all of us. Not just some of us, not just a few of us, but in all of us. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. As true as that may be, this is why Good Friday matters. This is why Good Friday matters. Because Good Friday tells us this and teaches us this. Good Friday, it reminds us that God is good even to those or even to people who have not been. God is good even to those and even to individuals who have not been. And that's the beauty. That's the beauty. And that's what we're going to read. And that's what we're going to discover as we read this passage and how this passage really just throws at us Good Friday all at once. Yes, it's in a separate text. Yes, it's in a separate area within the scriptures. But it points us to this great reality that God is good. And Good Friday reminds us that there is a good God even when you and I aren't good as well. That's what Good Friday means. That's what today means. So today, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be jumping back into the book of Hebrews. If you have your copy of the scripture, or we'll be on the screen for you. Go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go to verse 31. Now, if you don't know what's going on in Hebrews, if you're just joining in with us or you're unfamiliar with the scriptures, Hebrews, this chapter we've been studying, it talks about all these people that we find in the Old Testament. Right? The author is writing to a Jewish audience. So this author, or this audience, I should say, would have been very familiar with the people that they're addressing. Right? And we read about all these people. If you were with us in week one, we talked about Noah. And then week two, we talked about Abraham and Sarah. Then last week, or this past Sunday, our brother Logan, he brought up Moses. And this week, we're going to talk about a few other characters as well. But and we find something interesting. Before we do that, let me go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 11. I want to start in verse 31. Verse 31. It says, by faith, listen to this. This is very interesting how it starts off. You ready? This is interesting. By faith, Rahab the prostitute. Imagine that being on your resume. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And then it goes on, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, these are more people, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, and Samuel, and the prophets. And then he goes on, who through faith, that's our idea that we've been talking about, we've been landing on faith, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. It goes on to verse 44, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness. I love that. They were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. And then it goes on, and that's where we're going to stop. We're going to stop at verse 34. And then, so here's what the author is doing. The author is continuing to name off people who lived a life of faith, who lived a life of faith, who walked with God. And if you saw at the end in the verses, it talked about how they did all these great things. They did all these amazing things by faith. And they conquered kingdoms, and they overcame weaknesses, and they did all of these great things. And the author spends a great deal with these and many others in the chapter commending their faith. But this is interesting, friends. Here's why I want to bring you into the text. This is where we find Good Friday in the text. Hebrews 11, and this passage and all of it, we see people commended for their faith. But if you take a closer look, you also see people who don't just have great faith, but they have great failures. I find that interesting when I read this text. Now, this is known, if you want to be a nerd like myself, this is known as the Hall of Faith. These are the heroes of faith. They're well known. If you were a Jew and you heard about these names, you'd be like, oh, we love Abraham. Oh, we love Moses. But here's the reality, friends. Here's the reality. As great as they were, they also had failures. They also had flaws. They also had errors. I love how the author, when he brings up, and he brings up people that I would say, and again, I didn't write the Bible, the Holy Spirit did, but I didn't write the Bible. But when I read these people, and I as I know the background of what's going on in their life, I say to myself, how did they get here? How are they seen as the heroes of faith when they have great failures? I mean, think about Rahab. Look at verse 31. It says, when Rahab, the prostitute, what? She's an example of faith? Wait, what? And if you want to know more about Rahab, you can read it in Joshua chapter 2. It's a very beautiful story, a very wonderful story about how she exemplified faith in her life in that moment for her family. It was just amazing. I mean, it gives you so much hope. And so when you read that, you're like, yeah, that's a great story, but this woman's got a past. This woman's got a past. And then the author goes on and he continues to name off people. And he talks about this one guy that some of us are very familiar with. We're very familiar with David. Now, David is the same David that we find in the Old Testament, the same David that wrote all the Psalms that we love, Psalm 23, Psalm 19, all the wonderful Psalms that we love. He's the same David who slayed Goliath. We love that story, don't we? We've heard that story how many times in VBS? Right? How many times did Hollywood try to reenact that? Right? This is the same David that he showed so much humility after being chased by this guy named Saul trying to take out his life. But David showed so much great humility in that moment. He didn't take him out, but rather chose to serve in that moment. King David is the man. If you're a Jew, you're like, that's King David. We know who he is. But do you really know who he is? Because when I read in 2 Samuel, David one day decided not to go out to war, what kings should have been doing. And David has a moral failure. And not just has a moral failure, David has a man murdered, and he tries to cover up his lie. try to cover up his act. And I read this and I'm like, okay, David's great, but David sucked. Like, David was like, but David was awful. And then you see this consistent theme actually throughout Hebrews. And then you read about Samson. How many of us grew up and knew about Samson? Right? Samson, the guy with the long hair. I always think Samson looked like a Maui from Moana. That's what I always think about. For some reason, I don't know why. When I think about Samson, I think about Moana, the Maui, you know, whatever. Keep moving. But Samson, did you know he was an idiot? Any people read the Old Testament? Am I right? He was reckless. He was reckless. He was prideful. And somehow a prostitute, and somehow a murderer, and somehow a reckless, a man who had no self-control, they made it to the hall of faith. They made it to the hall of faith. This is outrageous. We're supposed to look at them as the example. But here's the thing. We're not so different. Can I share something with you, church? I love God. I do. I believe that Christianity is true. I believe that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died a death that I should have died, that I should have taken on, but rose on the third day as we are celebrating this Sunday. I believe in all that. I love God, and I want to serve him with my best. But can I be honest? I fall short a lot more than I like to admit. I love God, but I fall short quite a bit. I give in to my impulses. Some of you probably should be laughing right now. My thoughts go to unhealthy places. My actions don't always match my convictions. See, here's the thing, friends. Our faith, it may be real, but it's not perfect. And some of you, you need to hear this. You need to hear that Good Friday reminds you you're not perfect. And guess what? It's not meant to shame us, but to invite us into one who is perfect for us. That's what Good Friday represents, friends. See, friends, the question isn't, why are these people here, right? Because the truth is, this list of people, it's not a list of perfect people, but a list of inconsistent, imperfect people who trusted a perfect God. Because their story is not about perfection. It's about God's grace. It's about God's grace. Here's the truth, friends. Here's what Good Friday reminds us. We don't need improvement. We don't need to try harder. We need grace. We need the unconditional love of God in our lives. We need grace. Why? Because we need redeeming. And these heroes, they stunk. They weren't great. And they had great moments, but man, they also had some great failures. They were heroes. They were admired, but at the end of the day, they had failures. And you and I, we fall in that same category. We have our own failures. We have our own moments. We got our own skeletons in the closet. We're not the hero, which means this: we need a better hero. We need a greater hero. We need a true hero. In comes Jesus Christ. And this is the gospel. This is how Good Friday stands out in Hebrews 11. Christ didn't come for people who get it right. He came for people who couldn't. Christ didn't come for people who are just perfect. If you're looking for perfect people, you are in the wrong place. No. Christ came for people who are inconsistent and imperfect like you and I. Because why? Because grace is needed. Again, one more time, friends. Good Friday, it is not about shaming you. Good Friday is about showing you a Savior. showing you a hero. Guess what, friends? You're not the hero. You try to be strong, but you realize you are weak. You try to be perfect, but you realize you're not. You try to be as right as you can be, but you make the wrong moves. Make the wrong choices. And sometimes those moments, it can get us to the place where they can start eating us alive more and more. It begins to weigh down on our souls. It begins to weigh down on our minds. We begin to lose a bit of self-worth and self-value and all of this. And we try to find value and try to find worth and all these other things. But we realize all those other things are leaving us in the same place we were before. But Good Friday tells us there's grace. There's grace extended for you and I today. Because what brings you and I to God, the reason if you are a Christian today, you are not a Christian because you were so perfect. You are not a Christian because you were so faithful. No, because somebody was faithful for you. And perfect for you. That's the purpose of Good Friday. Christ didn't come for people who get it right. He came for people like you and I because we can't. And this is ultimately the cross, friends. The cross 2,000 years ago, it took our shame so that you and I can be restored. Christ took our past to give us a future. Christ took your sin so that you can walk in his love. Christ took the stain that is on our soul so that we can stand blameless before God, which means this. Our inconsistency doesn't disqualify us because we were never secured by our efforts, but we're secured by grace. We're secured by grace. You guys remember weeks ago when we had those strong winds come through Northeast Ohio? It felt like tornado 24/7, 7 days a week for literally forever. One day, I get home, and the winds are just going crazy. I see trash cans going down the street. I see people's patio furniture going down the street. I'm like, there goes mine. The winds are strong. You can feel it in your car. You've been driving. You can feel the wind against your car. It must feel like your car is moving. That's how strong it was. And I got home with my son, my youngest, from school, and we're about to go inside, and I opened the door. He says, "Ooh, it's windy." It was hilarious. It was the cutest moment ever. And I opened the door, and he gets out, and then the wind begins to knock him back. And he says, "Daddy," I said, "I can't hear you. It's too loud." You know, it was too windy. And he goes to stretch out my hand, and he tried to grab me with his finger, but it was interesting. In that moment, I grabbed him with my whole entire hand because I needed him to know, listen, friend, you are not going to be able to withstand this wind just by your finger. You need my whole entire hand to hold you, my brother, okay? All right? Don't get all conceited right now, all right? You need your daddy right now. And I find that interesting. In that moment, it wasn't his grip that secured him. Was my grip that secured him. See, I think, friends, some of us, when we fall short, when we fall into the ruts, when we fall into the places that leaves us full of shame and guilt and regret, we start beating ourselves up and we say to ourselves, I got to work harder, because we think to ourselves, this is how God's going to be good to me, and if I'm not good, then God's not going to be nice, and all of this. But at the end of the day, it wasn't you who brought yourself to God, but it was Christ who brought yourself to God. And if it was Christ, he's not the only one who's responsible for bringing you. He's also responsible for securing you as well. That's why we need grace, because we fall short. Because guess what, friends? You're going to fall short again. Right? You're going to do it again. You're going to fall short again. You're going to fail again. You're going to go, you're going to say things you don't want to say again. You're going to do things you don't want to do again, friends. Listen, that is just the reality. We're going to do it again and again and again. And these moments are going to happen in our life. Yes, you will fail again. But you will never fall out of his grace. You will never fall out of his grace. Why? Because Good Friday happened. Because Good Friday happened. Good Friday secured you. The messy you. The dirty you. The inconsistent you. The one step forward, 15 steps back you. Christ secured you. And now as we look at that and we say it was by grace and grace alone, not because I didn't deserve that. And now we look at that and we say to ourselves, it was by grace that I can even approach God, be called a son and a daughter of God. But here's the thing about grace, and this is our response today. Good Friday reminds us that God is good, and his goodness is seen most clearly in his grace. And grace, friends, it doesn't ignore the past of Rahab. It doesn't ignore the sin of David. It doesn't ignore the recklessness of Samson. It doesn't ignore it. Grace pays for it. Grace is God's way of providing people who are inconsistent, imperfect, like you and I, to return and be restored back to him. So here's our response today. I heard this from a pastor one time. He said this: people will respond to grace in one of three ways. Either you will reject grace. You will say, I don't need this. I'm my own hero. I can do this on my own. I don't need no God telling me that I don't what to do in my life. Either we will reject grace, we will, this one stings, abuse grace. It says this, yeah, I believe in this, but I want to do things my way. Yeah, I believe in the whole church thing. I like the pastor, I like the church, I like the music and all of that, but it's my life. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to live however I want to live. But this is how grace ought to be, ought to have our response in this way. Jesus, I need you. As we close today, this is the day where we recognize, yes, Jesus, thank you. We also say, Jesus, I need you. It is not just a day where we just do a traditional thing. This is the day where God does a thing in us. It's not a day where we just acknowledge what happened, but we also invite God to be at work in our hearts and our spirits. Why? Because, friends, we're like Rahab. We have a past. We're like David. We give in to our impulses. We're like Samson, we can be reckless. And maybe some of you are carrying a burden today. A burden of shame, a burden of regret, and all of that. And this time, as you can see, we have these crosses up here on the stage. This is maybe your first time here. We believe that here at Christ Church that faith is not just something we hear about, but it's a life we live. And by faith, you probably got some papers on your seats. And what we're going to do is we're going to realize this. There's a lot of things that you and I have been carrying. There's a lot of things that you and I have been holding. And that can be unforgiveness. That can be addiction. That can be a past trauma. It can be anything. And as we sit here, we remind ourselves everything we're holding, Christ took on. Everything that we're holding, Christ took on. When I go to the gym, my buddies and I, we do this one exercise, and we have to put the weight on our shoulders. And it's called a walking lunge, and so that means we're going forward and where we're doing a walking lunge and we have the weight on us. And can I tell you, by the time I'm getting done at the end of my reps, I am saying to myself, I can't wait for this weight to get the heck off me. I'm literally telling myself that as I'm doing this exercise and as I'm doing this, I feel this weight. I feel all of this. Yes, it's doing something, but man, it's also exhausting me. And then when I drop this weight, I'm like, thank God. And I think many of us are carrying weights. Unnecessary weight. It's not building anything, but rather it's slowing us down. It's slowing us down. It deserves to be on here, but also more importantly to be up here as well. This doesn't mean that you're saved. This doesn't do anything. This is just an act to say, thank you, Jesus, but I need you. Thank you, Jesus, and I need you. As the band continues to play, I want you to sit and reflect and ask God, give me the strength, give me the faith to write down this weight. But give me the faith to leave it up here too. To leave it up here too. Just sitting there, I want you to think about 2,000 years ago. The sound of those nails going in that wood. See, we're nailing paper. 2,000 years ago, there was a body. And I can just imagine the sound every time the hammer strike the nail. Sound of the Lamb of God. Sound of the breath of life. Sound as the bread of life was giving up his life. The people heard not just the nails, but they also heard the screams. They heard the wailing. There were witnesses who saw it. And there were people who said to themselves, this man was innocent. This man was innocent. So as we continue, let every nail be reminded of love. Let every time you hear the striking of that nail, let it hear ring in your ears one more time. Love. The love of God. Every time. That's how much God loves. That's how deep God's love is. That's how wide God's love is. That's for you and I.